It only takes one man, just one individual, a man or a woman, just one, to open the doors. From that side to this, they will come. Just one individual that would open the door, embrace the spirits, welcome the spirits, let the spirits become familiar with them and intimate with them. Just one that would open a door this way. Could be a father that opens the door to the spirits, and then the spirits come in and they want deeper, broader room in that dad, and they want deeper and broader room all around that dad. Sometimes that's all it takes. A woman comes into my office and she explains that she has had facial surgery, changed her name, everything about her is different because she's hiding from a Satanist father. Having a child, she was woken late in the night, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. She went downstairs and went to the basement. There the father was taking the baby girl through a satanic ritual. She fought with the father and ended up getting the child away and still lives this day in hiding. Only takes one individual to open the doors, to bring unclean spirits, to bring dark powers into themselves, but they're not just going to stay there. They're not just going to stay silent. They're not just going to say, all we want is you. They will want everything around the individual. Young child, completely demon-possessed, brought back into the sanctuary, we began to pray as spirits were speaking through her and howling out. The moment we brought up the name Jesus Christ, the little girl went limp and the demonic presence leaped upon the mother from whom they come. She went to the floor, same voices, same presence, same howling. And of course we commanded in the name of Jesus for those spirits to go. She had opened the door wide. She had gotten deep into the dark side. And with it, she, well, brought her daughter into it. She and her daughter were sharing the spirits that the mother opened the door to. There's one man that opened the door. One man that opened the door so vast, so wide, so complete. Oh, not just to his own life. This involved all of his family. This involved his family in the most horrific sense. This involved his family. This involved his extended family. This involved the tribe. This involved the city. This involved the nation. Listen to the words, 2 Kings 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. That's a long time. To let the demons come in and then through. When they come into one life, they don't want just that one life. They want that life to become, well, a vessel by which many others will come through. Verse 2. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. Listen now, verse 2 says, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 3 says, he rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had destroyed. He also erected altars to Baal and made an Asherah pole, as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. Verse 4, he built altars. Are you getting the picture? Let's go back to verse 2. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 3, he rebuilt the high places. In verse 2, he also erected altars to Baal. Also in verse 2, going on to verse 3, he rebuilt the high places. Verse 3, he bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. Verse 4, he built altars in the temple of the Lord. He built the altars. He didn't stop with his own life. He didn't stop with his own family. He didn't stop with his involvement in every single demonic entity, god or goddess he can get his hands on. The doorways were opened in the life of Manasseh. In those 55 years, he bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built the altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." The audacity of the dark side entering one life, and from that one life grabbing, reaching out to, influencing, well, engaging, transferring, grabbing a hold of, speaking, influencing all the others. Verse 5, listen to the words. In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. Verse 6, it goes further. He sacrificed his own son in the fire, practiced sorcery and divination, and consulted mediums and spiritists. Well, that involves Yahda, the intimate relationship with familiar spirits. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Verse 7, it goes on, he took the carved Asherah pole he had made and put it in the temple of which the Lord had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." It goes on and on and on. It only took one individual to open the door, not only to his own life, getting his own life packed, letting his own life become the vehicle, letting his own life become the doorway. That doorway then reached out. Those spirits worked through him. He wanted more. You see, when somebody gets a demon, somebody gets power, somebody begins to interact, not only do they want more and more and more and more and more because they can't satisfy the whole of the soul, they want to then... Well, the demons want then to operate in such a way to go all the way to the family, to engage the family. Manasseh sacrifices his son. The spirits in and on, and the ones that he's worshiping, and the ones that he's embracing, and the ones that are in his life, and Moloch, to whom he sacrificed in a torturous way his son to that demon god. Who do you think led him? Who do you think convinced him to do such a thing as that? Let me just stop right now and say this. Welcome to all listening right now. This is Shatter the Darkness live broadcast. Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. We are in the midst of a, 5-day series, Babylon is Rising. And whenever you hear the word, you got to think in terms of spiritual presence, manifest spiritual presence. It is the pictorial revelation out of the book of Revelation of the pinnacle, the broadest manifestation of demonic presence in lives, in families, in tribes, in nations, the globe. Babylon is rising in direct corresponding, well, to the manifest presence of demons everywhere around us. It's off the charts, my friends, and what's happening in the world today is moving in one direction. Agenda, agenda, agenda. I'll say it 1,000 times. A lot of believers know the presence of the enemy. Even people in the world will understand the presence of the devil, dark demons. They will know that they're operative in the world. They will know that they masquerade and become New Age spirits and spirits in the occult and spirits that guide all writings and spirits that bring about supernatural experiences, events, interaction, voices, non-human enhancements. But most do not understand the agenda. When we look back at 2 Kings chapter 21, Manasseh, it only took a 12-year-old boy that began to move his heart in a certain direction, probably because of his mother, Probably because of the bloodline of his family, in the sense that somewhere in his family line, those doorways were open and never shut. If the doors in your family line has been open to the demons, to where the demons manifest and operate and become deeply familiar, and nothing is ever done. How many times over the years, by probably hundreds, individuals have come in, they hear a voice, something's in their house, something's trying to get them to do what their father or their mother did. Something's there to lead them in the path of the mother or the father who had once opened the door to the dark side. Familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. I mean, we can go back to the book of Leviticus. Listen to the words. And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people. Oh, down in verse 26, it talks about it again. It talks about in the end of this chapter again, verse 27, a man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits. Have you read that? Have you understood? Tonight, doorway number 3, generational transference, inheritance, influence. Well, the familiar spirits. We're going to look at a word in the Hebrew, the root word from this particular familiar spirit that we see in the English translation here comes from the root word yada, yada. It's used in Genesis 4 when Adam knew his wife, yada, in the most intimate and personal way. I mean, the closest way you can consider yada. This is the root word to that word in the sense of familiar spirits. They are intimately familiar with the medium, priestess, individual, whoever has opened the door and has interacted with. I would say that Sylvia Brown has a familiar spirit. In her books, I have read clearly of her description of the spirit guide that began to operate in her life when she was just a teenager. At first, she didn't like it and feared. Later, this spirit guide has been the intimate, yada, familiar presence in her life that has guided her in all of her predictions, interpretations, all of the writings of her books. That presence in her life is familiar. And if there's one, there's always more. And if one is in a life that deep, it will always seek immediate family, extended family, the tribe, the nation. And in the prophetic revelation, Book of Revelation, chapter 18, you've read this. First words, chapter 18, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, Babylon the Great is fallen, and it's become the habitation. Oh, it has become the home, the dwelling place of Daemon, of the demons. But it has also become more than just the habitation. It has become the hold. The hold. This is the guarding place, the prison place of every foul spirit, every unclean spirit. It has also become the cage. The cage. The idea, again, of entrapment. The idea of a highly guarded place. The cage of every unclean and hateful bird, a figure of speech in Scripture in reference to dark spirits. Babylon in the pinnacle of the dark manifestation, every kind of spirit, every kind of dark spirit, every kind of unclean spirit, every kind of hateful, dark presence manifested, literally making Babylon a prison, a cage, a holding place. They do this in the possession of one life. They do this when that life opens up and a family is infected, when demonic presence is transferred through ritual, through handing down, through teaching practices, through joining the family member into the practices. They can have a spirit guide too. They can have a spirit to enhance their lives also. This is how it works. This is the operating presence. If you give them an inch, they will take a mile. Let me stop for a minute here to say welcome to this broadcast on a Wednesday night. It is the 16th of February already, and we're glad you're here. We are simply saying that tonight in this broadcast, we need to understand what time it is. We need to understand the ramping up. We need to realize it's not going away. And if all we want to do is live in Disneyland, in La La Land, in the land of denial, then we will only give them room. But there is a fierce response to all of this in the world, even now. And, of course, something to come in the return of Christ. Welcome to all those listening by radio right now, internet-wise and satellite-wise. We deeply appreciate that you are here with us and that sometimes many of you do write us emails. We appreciate the comments and the interaction. We can sometimes give some counsel, you know, through an email, but not the kind of in-depth things many folks need. I know a number of people that are waiting. They want deliverance. They want freedom. They want help. They want inner healing. And let me just tell you the website, shatterthedarkness.net. There's a course, Confronting the Powers. There's another course, Freedom Encounters. There's another course and another. And it's all there to help train you. They're the exact same courses I have done here locally. In small group, in homes, in local churches, in bookstores, we have held these training courses again and again and again. And I liken all of them to at least a first year, if not fourth year, college level training course. The truth is, in many of the places I've been, they don't teach or emphasize this material. That's why I believe that we've been led to leave it out there for you, and we have noticed now that hundreds of thousands of downloads, 90 countries, and we're glad that those of you who do the archives later on during the week, we want to just simply bless you in the name of Christ. May the Spirit of God guide, lead, and direct you. There are many times that I have taken courses and training things that I thought were good. I couldn't go to this certain place. I couldn't travel to where they were teaching it. But buying the materials, listening to the CDs, I could have in the presence of Christ. That's how I do all my studies. They're interactive. I've got hundreds of books all around me, some that are waiting for me. They're like jumping off the shelf. Read this, read that. I got to get to it because I've got things to interact with in what we do to touch this world we live in at such a time as this. You know, and I know, you can feel it in the air. There is a ominous presence. We know this, even as believers. But in the believer, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, the Spirit of God. And greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. So stand and give your praise to God. Stand and be on fire. Stand and grow. Stand and be a part of the greatest mission. Stand and let God operate through your life for the salvation, the healing, the deliverance, and a great witness in these end days. Go out of this world smoking hot, sent from heaven, reaching all that you can for Christ. Extending the kingdom of God in all the ways that, the mission of God in prayer and the book of Acts, great field manual for the end of days. We apologize, we're a little bit behind. We've just had some, things come up, and we'll be getting some new courses, and we're trying to say every week three at least, and we want to give the training material out. And the Lord Jesus will be right there with you as you study it, but also as you launch out. What good studying the Word of God if we don't launch out in obedience to it so it becomes operative in our life and through our life? That's how the dark side operates. The dark side cannot become operative in a life unless that life receives it and obeys it and then opens the door to do and to practice and let it all come through. That's how we get this thing many people call generational spirits. Grandfather opened a door. It was all in the grandfather's life, and all the practices and the spirits were welcome and became familiar, yada, intimate. I mean, that's where they can name the names, that the practices are clear. We're not talking just about oppression or even influence. We're talking about direct interaction, welcoming, to where lives become the home, the habitation, and eventually an imprisonment where the demons are there and they are guarding their property. That's Babylon in the end. That's that verse I just read to you in Revelation 18:2, where the whole world, the whole system of Babylon becomes a habitation for the demon. And it becomes the hold, the holding place, or the cage, as translated in the King James. The cage of every unclean, and it's the vessel. It's the broadest vessel. It's not just one man, not a family, not a tribe, not a city, not a nation. We're talking now, this has gone global. What you're reading about in the future, it will be global. The cities, the nations, the demonic presence will be so thick, so broad, so manifest that it would seem that they have a hold, that they have encaged, that they have gripped, and they have imprisoned the whole world. That's what's developing before our very eyes. If you agree with the fact that there is demonic ramping up everywhere, and everything that helps open the doorways, now we have gone over this already this week, the doorways. We had talked about Monday, the doorway, demonic didaskalia, the writings, Timothy 4:1, and exchanging God for a God, and the communication. Now that's what's been going on in a vast way. And it has infected the world. The writings that the spirits have guided individuals has now opened wide the door to people to experience, and the spirits are getting in. And since this has gone on so long, it's not just great-grandma and grandpa that read these materials and got in, and then the next, it's all the way down. That's why so many of you who are doing deliverance out there have individuals that have come in. You can tell story after story after story of individuals who have come in. The demons in their life are the familiar spirits that are in the mom or the dad or the grandma or the grandpa and on that have never been dealt with. The demons who got in that generational link because they want the rest. If you go back to, listen now, 2 Kings 21. You'll see again in the first number of verses, 7 verses alone. He did it, he did it, he did it, he did it, he did it. One man opened wide the door. It brought effect to his family, devastating effect to his son, who was burned, sacrificed in horrific torture to Moloch. And he even brought it right into the temple of the Lord. The audacity of the dark side is to take the vessels they have convinced they are operating in and come right into your church buildings and challenge and want to change and reframe and the Jezebel, the Nicolaitan, the Gnostic. It's why spiritual leaders need to understand, test the spirits to see what is from God. Good news in all of this today? Well, it's in your notes, and if you're listening to us live or later on by the archives, we have notes now for the entire week. Theme for the entire week, Babylon is Rising. Monday was about the demonic writings and the doorway. And it's vast. Tuesday night was the doorway of the fallen nature, the code of insurrection, the sin code. Romans 8 is what we focused on. And then tonight is the issue of generational. And then the transference. All over the world, there are tribes, there are individuals that have opened up the door and then they've brought in the practice into their family. And then the family, they all got to have spirit guides. They all got to have, you know, tokens and amulets and practices. And some are dedicated to the demon gods. And in a lot of ways, then, the demons are part of the inheritance. And the demons are there not only to be in the life of the first individual that allowed them in. And of course, the demonic mode of operation would be to fill that life, bring more demons in, take complete control, use that life, give that life abilities and writings and materials and everything else that would then, well, reach out to the rest. Even if the rest of the family members want nothing to do with it, the influence of that presence in the house, because of the word yada. The root word for the familiar spirit there in Leviticus 20 comes from the word yada. Intimate, deeply, I mean personal, familiar. There's so many individuals that I've met that the practitioners, they know the names. Like Sylvia Brown, you can call her a psychic if you want, a medium. She has one of these kind of spirits that she talked about in the one book on Christ. That dark spirit then guided her, that familiar spirit guided her in her interpretation of the Bible, interpretation of Christ. And as always, demon spirits, they will never tell you the truth about Christ, about God, about the Word of God. Listen to the New Age, listen, New Ager and psychic, and by the supernatural providence of God, those who get this at a later hour, maybe in the Czech Republic, maybe they're in Russia, the mediums and the wizards that are off the charts. You know, in Russia, they say there's more mediums and wizards than there are psychologists and doctors. You think the United States is where all the demonic habitation in the imprisonment, the caging of the spirits is going on? It's happening in Canada, Australia, all through Europe and Italy and Rome. And listen, they've had no problem going right into the Vatican. A super force. Now the Luciferian that listens and the chosen one sub-personalities that listen, you know. You know, and you're forbidden to tell, I know, and you hate the fact that it's coming out, but biblical prophetic revelation is cutting edge. I cannot say it enough. Want me to say it again? Cutting edge. Go ahead and say it out loud yourself. Cutting edge. It gives the greatest infallible, detailed picture of actual future human history. So when we look way out there, whether it's 5 or 10 years away, I don't know. But I do know that like all biblical prophecy, it will come to pass. The chaos will come, the Antichrist will rise, the false prophet will ascend, the abyss will open, and Armageddon will occur. And just before Armageddon, packed in between chapter 16, where the mother of all rituals and the release of demons on a planetary global scale is done. There's a lot of New Agers, there's a lot of occultists, there are a lot of 2012ers that already have the spirits letting them know that a planetary wave is coming. Well, God has already said, yes, it's coming, but it's not what you think it is. It is not something good. You're talking about the hounds of hell in caging lives, families, tribes, cities, nations, the world. Familiar spirits, yeah, they want, if you got them in you, they want your family. There's no question. Anybody doing deliverance, they know how the spirits, when they have a topon, a doorway, a legal right to get in, they're legalists. They, well, how do they look at it? Since they get into the mom or the dad's life, then they feel like, well, we have a right to the family. And so they want to influence the mom or the dad to involve the child, the children, into the practices so that they too could get spirits. And if it doesn't work that way, then the spirit will operate to bring influence into the child, teenager, whatever age they want them. They want to continue to expand. Now, that's what I'm telling you if you understand 2 Kings 21. It began in a life. That life where the handing down never broke, he went back to the dark places. He searched out the old places where the demon gods had all of their altars and places. He went looking for them, guided by the spirits that he already had, guided by the presence that he was already engaging. And it continued to expand and expand and expand. Go ahead and read the whole chapter. He so opens the door in those 55 years that bloodshed, innocent blood, human blood being shed in ritual. Oh, it could start off easy. It could start off light. It could start off like a new age, you know, happy, translucent, angel-like spirits. Spirit guides, non-human enhancement. But the inch they get doesn't negate wanting to swallow you whole, the mile they desire. No matter what mask they put on in the beginning, it always seems to lead to the enslavement of human life, the use of human life, the extension of their manifest presence, and then the blood. Say hello to the Mayans years ago. 2012 researchers are either so utterly, massively deceived, or they're purposely, by the spirits that are guiding them, lying to the rest of the world about the reasons for the buildings and temples and old Mayan civilization. And just like 2 Kings 21, the Mayan civilization, same thing. A human sacrificing factory. God said concerning the days of Manasseh that innocent blood had been shed from one side to the other. I've already said this. I'm going to say it again because of the satanic ritual abuse issue. Under the carpet, beneath the surface of the deep. That's how it's plotted out in Scripture, revealed in Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. A secret power of lawlessness already at work and will continue to, the sequential evolution of the satanic agenda can only come about by manifest power, and the best way on their side to bring that, human blood sacrifice. It's why all of Europe and England, even in Russia, United States, Canada, and Australia, has heard about for now 50 years. Primarily the last 30. Satanic ritual abuse, human sacrifice, or rituals being done. I've already shared, and I won't do it now, 500 million. That's our calculation in the last 30, 40 years. Our calculation, every single city in the United States of America, there is a coven. There are rituals being done because the victims of it all exist in every single city. They've shown up in every single hospital and psych ward and counseling place. And if they're in your city, and if they've gone through it all, which is usually by the time of their 13, probably about 1,000 rituals, well, then it literally is telling you that what's been going on behind the scenes in your city. Now you say, well, I'm not sure about that. Well, listen, we have done a series with 14 hours called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Why don't you listen to it? It's a training on how to detect it in your area. If you feel the darkness there, if you feel the suppression to the churches there, then why don't you study that and see that what's behind the actual manifest presence, why there are so many people that are demonized today coming in. It's coming from somewhere. The Bible calls it a secret, a mysterium, power of lawlessness. The Word of God itself teaches us in Ezekiel chapter 8 that that serpent worship with blood sacrifice seeks to stay hidden in the dark places. Now in our 29, 30 years of going, at times far as we can in counter-infiltration, no question in my mind. That's why we need to sound the alarm again and again and again of what is occurring all around us with the proclamation that the Word of God says, we haven't seen anything yet. It'll get deeper, broader, and thicker. And we will see broader, satanic, counterfeit, masqueraded, supernatural signs, wonders, and counterfeit miracles than in ever before in all of history. And the only reason somebody is bringing them from that side and allowing them to this side, looking into the future at the pinnacle, the world and your cities and even nations. How could it be in the White House, United States of America? There are those that would seek the guidance in astrology for presidential meetings or practiced voodoo. Can you imagine in your parliament where your king is, where your prime minister is, where your president is? You think it doesn't happen among leaders in Russia or in Germany or in Italy or in France or in Spain or in England or in the United States? Well, just two words, Bohemian Grove, just one little peek into the influence. The transference. Now, Bohemian Grove actually reveals what Revelation 16 is all about. It's what the covens in your city have been doing for 30, 40 years, summoning the dark powers, not only for themselves, transferring them into their families and all those that are part of their group, building more and more and more, but summoning them to send them against pastors, against churches, into the air to bring manifest presence. There is a course, a training course. It's right on our website, absolutely free, Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Do you have the spiritual guts to do it? Do you have the spiritual guts to look at the dark side of the face and say, not here, not in the name of the God of heaven, not in the name of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come. Well, let me read you the verse. It's in your notes. As a matter of fact, I ask you to look at 1 John 3:8. Memorize that actual verse. Here's what it says. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil's been sinning from the beginning. For this purpose, now this is a very incredible construction in the Greek, eis tautou, for this very reason, for this very purpose, the Son of God was manifested, appeared, that he, see that hina clause? It's called a hina clause in the original, with the direct result or the purpose of that he might destroy, luo, that he might break up, loose, and destroy the works. Look at the whole verse. See that word? Ergon of the devil. Ergon of diabolos. Of the slanderer. Of the accuser. It is the ergon. These supernatural operative works. That's what it's talking about in 2 Thessalonians 2. That's what God has shown us again and again. Ephesians 2. The prince of the power of the eros. The spirit who's now at work. Same word. He's supernaturally operative in a life, then in a family, then in the family, then in the tribe, in the city, in the nation. To hear it, Revelation 12, the full manifest presence of the dark side, the dragon seeks to lead the whole world astray. It's happening before our eyes. Four things about 1 John 3. That part of the scripture that says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let all the Luciferians hear it. Let all the Satanists hear it. In the name of Jesus, let all the demons hear it. They already know it. May God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, open eyes and hearts, New Agers and psychics and remote viewers and those 2012ers and others that listen, to the researchers and the recon experts. Well, may they bring terror, because the name Christ Jesus does bring terror, shuddering to the demonic realm. Here's what it says in that verse, four things. The reason. Now let me emphasize this. The very reason God comes in human flesh. He's the Savior of the world. He's going to the cross. But the cross deals with what needs to be done. The barrier is our sin and the sin code inside of us and the death code inside of us and the absolute legal rights Satan and the demonic realm have in fallen humanity. Or you can read about this in Colossians chapter 1. When anybody gets saved, they are transferred, translated, ripped up out of the dominion of darkness and transferred over into the basileia, the kingdom, the realm of God, of Christ. So number one, in the coming of Christ to the cross involves literally destroying all of what the devil has done. Garden of Eden, it wasn't humankind that just on their own originated sin. We were engaged. Though given the word of God, we didn't have to. Given the word of God, we could have been preserved. The fatal, stupid, idiotic choice of chucking God, spitting on his word, embracing the fallen cherub, and taking his word, a fallen nature, a death code, and Satan's rights came barreling into the DNA, the construct of the human life. God was out, Satan was in. As far as an operating presence. And who's going to fix that? How about a New Age crystal? No. How about Reiki? No. How about a ritual? No. Some New Age positive thinking? No. What's going to take care of this devastating, at the core of the human construct, destruction? Jesus comes. There's a reason why he's born of the Virgin Mary. There's a reason why he never sinned. There's a reason why he's considered a pure, spotless lamb, the blood of Christ, pure. There's a reason why the demons feared him and hated him and wanted to get out from his presence. For this purpose, there is a targeting. God targeted the work. Satan, of course, too, but the work of the devil. So the purpose was a spiritual warfare purpose. Christ coming into the world was an act of spiritual war on the dark side. You've got to understand that you can't be a believer without it. Spiritual warfare, that is. Can't be the body of Christ without it. Jesus would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail. You can't be born again without the battle. You can't grow as a believer, Ephesians 6. But we've been given tools. We've been given the power of God. We've been given the authority of Christ. We've been given weapons that are not carnal, that are mighty through God. Weapons of this warfare. So many not using them. So many of you could. May the Spirit of God grip you today and say, stop it. Stand up, take up the cross to follow Christ, appropriate all that is in salvation. You've been saved. The Spirit of God indwelling. The Word of God all for you. God is for you. Nobody can be against you. God, nothing in all of heaven, not demons, not angels, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. Ever read Romans chapter 8? Have you ever read some of these verses? Can I ask you something? There's so many believers that fear the dark side. Are you afraid of the devil? Are you afraid of the dark side? When you see the power of God and the authority of Christ operative through your life, you're going to see the overwhelming crushing. That's why when Jesus said, I have given you authority. Did you read that in Luke chapter 10? I've given you authority to trample. I mean just to crush the dark side. And to overcome, Nike, the Greek word, to with decisive victory, decisive and final victory, to overcome all the power. Until you get that verse down and appropriate it, accept it, that you've been given the authority for a purpose. See, Jesus Christ came for a purpose. Now in that verse I said, there's four things. Number two, he's the Son of God. There is no one. Look in the biblical revelation and look at the world around us. If the Bible defines who the Son of God is and the dark side knows, you go ahead and read Mark chapter 5. They understood, they knew, Satan himself knew, Revelation 12, he knew who was going to be born, the Christ of God. He knew. That's why he was there, trying to preempt it, trying to destroy the Son of God. They wanted to destroy the Son of God. The Son of God prevailed. In this one verse, there's a purpose, and there's the Son of God. None like him. He's called the monogenesis, only one of a kind. Now it says, and the third part is, he appeared, manifested, phaneroo. The Logos, always been with God, always been God, became flesh and dwelt for a while among us. Listen, they have said it. They saw his glory, God in human flesh. Again, whether you believe it or not, the demons knew. The prophets knew. The apostles, of course, knew. Anyone listening right now, please understand, Jesus came to save you. But saving you from sin and Satan's rights. If you're lost, Satan has rights over you. If your sin is in you and the sin code is operative in you and the death code that will eventually send you to hell is operative in you, Satan has rights. And the only way to break those rights is the living Christ coming into your life, because what he did at the cross destroyed. That's the fourth point. Luo. To break up, to dissolve, to annihilate the operating works of the devil. When anybody receives Christ, instantly, the works of the devil, the rights, are broken. The chain is broken. And God comes in, the Spirit of God comes in a new ownership. And again, I think a great picture of that is in the first chapter of Colossians. That when anyone comes to Christ, there's a ripping up, a translation. That you've been taken out of. The devil's dominion, his domain, his exousia, his authority. And you now have come into and are in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of Christ. If you're a believer, you are secure in Christ. Now let me bring something out. There's a reason. It's the Son of God. He appeared, he manifested, and it was all about destroying. Please understand something, that when evangelism is going on, that involves the ongoing work of destroying the devil's work in other people's lives. The authority given to us as we command demons and spirits out of individuals to get out that brings destruction. When massive, mighty intercessory prayer and prayer against the dark side is unleashed, that brings destruction, annihilation to the dark side. Why aren't more believers living in awesome prayer, awesome power, with awesome answers? Can't wait to get that book out. Now, familiar spirits I've already mentioned in the Old Testament, Leviticus 20. It's there clearly in verse, 6, 7, and 8. You can take a look through it. Then go all the way down to verse 27. A man or a woman who has a medium or who has familiar spirits. In the Old Testament days, those who had, that root word, the concept is they are intimately, deeply within, embedded, where there is an interaction, a worship, an acceptance, a possession. It involves all of that. So familiar, so intimate. In the Old Testament days, deliverance was only when they died. Demons do not hang into dead human rotting corpses. They leave. Those spirits that was in grandfather or grandmother, if they die, they want to go looking for the doorway into the son or daughter or grandchildren. They want to hang around. And if there's objects in the home, if there's been ritual, little, small or large, anything that has given them the room to where they become intimate and familiar, to where these demons have become so family-like, a part of the family, a part of the tradition, they want to hang around. Listen, until they are broken off, until they are sent away, they're going to be yada. They're going to be intimate. I've told you already that they, look on your notes, you can see it. It begins with a person. A good study of that is Manasseh. His family's infected and ultimately receives a painful result, the sacrifice of a son. No question, tribe or the group, the nation as a whole. And it even brought an infection, that spiritual presence. You know what bugs me about that story? That in the development of Manasseh, bringing this for years, decades, guided by the spirits, empowered by the spirits, he embraced the spirits. He brought it all the way into the temple of God. He brought their symbols, their signs, their poles, all the way into the temple of God. Where were any of the believers then? It eventually took God dealing with and using Josiah. Huldah the prophet gave a good word. The word of God was brought back. The people turned back to the Lord. And Josiah was guided in the Old Testament day to go clean house. Today, in the New Testament days, we have the authority of Christ. You can walk into a Kmart, a Walmart, and if you're walking in the Spirit, full of the Spirit of God, and have that authority, and you have spiritual discernment, you might feel a demonized person walk right by you. And watch what happens when you begin to pray and target that presence. The reason you've been given authority in Christ is to target the dark presence. The reason we have the ability to pray with power. What are you going to do? Sit back and let the dark side continue to encroach, continue to get into lives? Evangelism, if you look at the book of Acts, is probably one of the greatest, greatest declarations of war on the dark side. Because salvation brings the transference. Salvation brings the word of God that penetrates all the darkness in a fallen man or woman's heart. If you're lost right now, the good news is, the word of God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Have you read that? John's Gospel 3. Go read it yourself. Let the word of God penetrate your life. You want to come to Christ? You want to get out of the dark side? You want to break the chain in your family line? Turn to Christ. Renounce the dark side. Receive the power, the love, the authority, the cleansing, and the work of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 is the word of hope for today. As I read this word, let me mention to you that breaking this, if you're a believer right now, there's nothing wrong with saying, Lord, is there anything in my family line? I don't care if it's 10 generations back. I don't care if it was grandpa or my dad or my mom. Have any of them opened doors to such a degree that the spirits that came into them that they engaged and kept? If they desire me, I'm a believer in Christ, but if they want to influence, if they want to come this way, if they want to go to my children, you know what you do? Just simply, first of all, ask the Lord to make you aware. Number two, renounce anything and everything your family line has ever gotten into, whatever the Lord shows you. Number three, rebuke the powers of darkness, commanding them to stay away, renouncing them all, and claiming the authority of Christ, the blood of Christ, over your life and your family. And in Christ, here's what it says. Colossians 2, verse 15. Here's the word of hope for today. Hope you memorize it. Here's what it says, referring to Jesus Christ by the cross and what he did there. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. By it. By the cross. The emphasis in the original, by the cross. That's what Jesus did. I pray right now that if you're lost, you don't know God, you don't know Christ, he wants to come into your life right now. He summons you. Yes, you can come to Christ. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ask him to come in right now. He wants to come in and bring his presence and power. For those that have been into the spirits, those that have opened the door to the dark spirits, renounce them and call on Jesus. May the Lord Jesus break the power of the demons in your life in Jesus' name, giving you freedom to call on the name of Christ, to be delivered permanently, to give your heart and life. Let Christ come in. Let his power, his authority, the gift of eternal life, and the love of God come in, my friend. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Whosoever calls on that name, Jesu Christu, Jesus Christ, well, you'll be saved. The Spirit of God will come in. If you're a believer in Christ, it is time to get up, study like you've never studied, stand like you've never stood before, realizing, like Acts chapter 9, verse 22, you can become more and more powerful. Looking forward to tomorrow night, doorway number 4, direct embrace. As we end tonight, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers. We're in the midst of a spiritual battle in which Jesus has won for us, but we need to use our weapons. If you want to sponsor, if you want to invest, if you believe this is beneficial, check out shatterthedarkness.net, the support tab. We need your support. God bless. Good night.